You're listening to The Patriot Cause with Bud Cornwell, United States Marine Corps retired, standing guard on the Wall of Freedom. Welcome back, Patriots. This is the Gunny, and this is the final segment of the Gunny on the Scott Beeson Show in Birmingham, Alabama, which was awesome. Getting out there, spreading the good news of the truth, especially associated with the Supreme Court actually supporting and defending the rights of an individual in this country. So take a great listen to this last segment of the Scott Beeson Show. Welcome back. This is the Gunny. Oh, man, what a day. It's Friday. Some good music. God, it brings me back, way back. You know, it brings me back to the days where I didn't worry about this kind of stuff. I didn't. I certainly didn't talk about it. Probably didn't know most of it, if it was going on, which I'm sure it was. But the difference now, I guess, it's obviously because I'm older. I've been around longer. And I've seen life change. So I think the reason I'm doing this or being involved in, you know, talking about stuff like this, which I like doing, by the way, because on my podcast, The Patriot Cause, I tell the listeners all the time, I do the research on stuff like this. So you don't have to. It's like just boiling it down. And the difference between being on the radio show and being on a podcast mainly is, you know, you can get callers to call in and you can discuss it if they want to talk about it. Where a podcast, it's just, you know, you going at it. So this is exactly what I did yesterday in my basement on the Patriot Cause. I talk. Matter of fact, I got my notes right here. These are my podcast notes. And I'm using this. I'm using the same notes that I used for the podcast. And here's what I'm finding out. The more and more I did this, I mean, I did it yesterday. And then we worked on it today. And I'm looking at it as it just gets clearer and clearer. The more you talk about it. That's what's missing. That's what we need to do again. Especially as God's people. We need to listen to what these people have to say. But at the same time, they should listen to what we have to say and sit, you know, back and forth and get us back to actually discussing stuff. Because when you do that, when you talk about it, you discuss it, especially if you're discussing it with other people and not just yourself, things start, it's like, you know, you got this gigantic, huge onion. And right in the middle of that onion is like the sweetest part of that onion. But what you got to do is you got to peel it layer by layer by layer. And then eventually you're going to get to the sweet part of the onion. That's how this discussing stuff with people works. And then you'll have the ability, well, maybe we'll have the ability to get these people to start having some type of reasonable thinking process with reason. It's hard. I'm telling you, it's very hard. I have a person that I know very well, that went to a very liberal college. He's 40. And I try to have discussions with him. He wants to have discussions with me. But if I bring it up in any which way or form as, you know, as a Christian talking, or even reference the Bible or any of that, it will instantly shut him down. He won't even, he'll get up and walk off just like that. He'll talk to me. We can discuss things, but if you start putting your view and you start talking your view, you know, what you believe in, Christianity and all that stuff, and you start putting that in, I don't want to listen to you. It's that simple. I don't want to listen to you. So they leave. They get up and leave. And that's that. That's a big, huge issue that we got to fix. All Americans. Everybody's got to fix that. Sometimes, conservatives, we just got to open our ears. That's it. And just let them vent. Let them talk. It's hard to do sometimes because some of the things they say, it comes into you and it's kind of like, you know, it gets into you and it eats you, chews at you, and you want to react to it. But you can't do that. You really got to let them do what they got to do. All right, we got Clark on the phone. Can you hear me, Clark?
Hey, bud, how are you today?
I'm doing good, sir. Good hearing from you.
Yeah. So before we get started.
Okay.
When you were with the United States Marine Corps.
Yes, sir.
Who were you with and when were you there?
I first joined the Marine Corps the 21st day of January, 1982.
Okay.
And I went in as a tanker. So I was at,
okay.
After tank school, my first duty station was 29 Palms, California, Alpha Company, 3rd Tanks.
Okay.
Then I re-enlisted and went in the aviation field.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I was aviation electronics technician. And I was stationed in Hawaii and Memphis and California and Cherry Point, North Carolina, all different places. I went to Somalia. I missed going to the first Gulf War because I was an avionics instructor in Memphis. So,
okay.
But that's pretty much in a nutshell. I mean, you know, way watered down version of my career.
Well, we had some overlap time, so.
Right, gotcha.
I was in 79 to 83.
Okay. And where were you at?
2nd Battalion, 6th Marines, mm-hmm. Scout Sniper, and spent, I don't know, a year and a half as Chief Scout for them.
Nice.
Got back from Beirut and went to Auburn.
Lucky you.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, a lot of stuff going on right now. Have you looked at the Tim Robbins thing?
I don't think I have.
Okay. I didn't think a lot of people had, and that's the reason I brought it up.
Okay.
So, I don't know Tim Robbins. I've seen a couple movies he's in. And to be honest, I got him pegged to just the right of maybe, just the right of, who's the guy that made Few Good Men? Meathead from the bunker.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
I know anyway. Exactly. Rob Reiner.
Yeah, I got it just to the right of Rob Reiner.
Oh, my God.
Turn me over because I think the computer's fixing to cut me off.
It is. Yeah, absolutely. But, hey, don't go away, Clark. I mean,
I'll be right here.
Just take a break and we'll continue. I want to hear what you're saying here. So, but,
okay.
Yeah. Thanks for calling. We'll talk to you in a bit.
No, just hang on to me and I'll be here.
No, I got you. I got you. That's what I'm saying. Hang on. You hang on.
All right.
And we'll be right back with you.
Okay.
Okay.
Your transistor. 911, what's your emergency?
There's a guy on the radio and he's telling the truth and I don't like it.
What's your name?
It's Johnson. Snowflake Johnson.
Yes, we are aware.
So what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? He's hurting my feelings.
All right, send me every unit you can spare. We're going to need to shut down.
The Scott Beeson Show.
Welcome back. This is the Gunny, and we got Clark on the line with us. Clark, I tell you, this is great music today. I mean, whew. Andrew is bringing me way, way, way back. So, how you doing, Clark?
Oh, it's all good on my end.
Awesome, man. I love being here. I can tell you that right now. This is just a pleasure. You know, I love it when I have an opportunity to, you know, like I said, research and see what's going on. But most important, like I've been saying the whole show, this is a wonderful, wonderful Friday. It's one of the best Fridays in the history of America. We're talking about the Supreme Court upheld a person's individual right and made the school give him his job back. That's awesome. Anyway.
Yeah. There's so much stuff going on that it just... There's so much stuff going on that is positive right now.
Right.
And the reason I bring up that Tim Robbins thing is, you know, normally I don't think I would be bringing Tim Robbins up as something positive because, like I say, I've got him just to the right of Rob Reiner, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But he has come out and made public statements. The truth about safe and effective COVID vaccines, I bought into it. I demonized people. I was guilty of everything I came to understand that was not healthy. He has gone after two different actors' unions.
Wow.
About their mandates.
Mm-hmm.
There's a Gateway Pundit article. I sent a couple articles yesterday to Scott pertaining to this. But now you think about it. If Tim Robbins has had a Road to Damascus moment about the COVID stuff, that's got to be some kind of bellwether.
Yes.
You know, it's got to be a turning point.
Yep.
Where we can say, people that you wouldn't expect to start to figure this stuff out are figuring it out.
You're right, Clark. There's multiple cases like this.
Yes.
And I mean, you know, here's the hard part, though. Like I say, I can't understand their thought process. So if I can't really understand their thought process, I'm definitely not going to understand how all of a sudden they got it. Right? Did just some light bulb when the head came on said, oh, you really need to think about this. You need to investigate this and get the truth. Or did somebody that they know that are friends, really good friends, convinced them that they're doing wrong? You know, that kind of stuff. Because I know they didn't just change on their own. Not if you're that far. You know what I mean? If you're that far, like the Michael Moore far, right? It doesn't just happen. I don't think does.
The way I've always liked to put it is we can't reason someone out of a position they felt their way into.
Ah, yes.
No? And if, you know, if people that are that far over are starting to understand that they have been, you know, he just came out and said he bought into the lies. And I don't know, it heartens me Oh, I don't want to sit here and read an article to you, but angry at people that weren't wearing masks, protested about it, protested for these people, that people. It was all lies. Started having more questions. It's just, look that article up. Like I say, it's at Gateway Pundit.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, there's more and more. I don't know that I'd really call them defections, but you're starting to see some enlightenment. And I tell you, when we get into the dark, cold winter that's coming and there's rolling blackouts.
Yes.
And people have a hard time getting fuel and heat and oil and, think about what's going to happen with public opinion then.
I think it's, you know, again, this goes back to me saying I can't understand how they think, because you're talking about an economy. Everything is falling apart in front of their eyes, and yet they still do not believe it. They still, you know what I mean?
Gunny, if they thought, they wouldn't be leftists and Democrats.
Well,
you know, I'm sorry, yeah, but it's the truth.
Well, I look at it this way, and this is what I tell them all the time. My daughter went to the University of North Carolina, Charlotte, and they did a lobotomy on her.
She's, oh, yeah.
Six and, years know, in
it
architect
started
school.
The day she got there.
And because that is not the daughter I raised and put into college. Absolutely.
Yeah, they started on her the day they got, or the day she got there. And I think they either target the female students more or they're more susceptible.
Gotcha.
Three kids that have all been to the same university. And, yeah, there's definitely a difference there. Hey, real quick before they make me get back to work here.
Okay.
Maybe 5 or 6 years ago, I read an article. And the fellow's international business, and he just happened to be in Russia. And he ran into some gentlemen from an African country. And they spoke perfectly good English, and they talked for a little bit and decided they'd have dinner together. So they're having dinner, and he asked them, well, why are y'all here in Russia? Well, we're here making arrangements for some students to come to the university here. And he'd been talking to them and kind of had a feel for their politics.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, well, why not send them to America? Why are you bringing them to a Russian university? And you know what they were told, or what they told him? They said, no, 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 no. When we send our kids to an American university, we get a leftist back.
Mm, exactly.
When we send them here to Russia for 4 years of school,
mm-hmm,
they come back with very conservative views.
Wow.
Well, they got to see firsthand what stuff was about versus the indoctrination they would have gotten here.
Gotcha. Yep, yep.
But anyway, Gunny, keep doing what you do. I got to get back after it on my end.
All right, sir. Thank you very much for calling in, Clark. Take care of yourself,
yes,
buddy.
Yes, sir. Bye-bye now.
All right. Yep. Clark and I have some things in common, believe it or not. One of them is we're both Marines. And just in case, especially, Petrov here needs to understand something. Once a Marine, always a Marine. There's no former Marines, ever. And when people use that terminology, we're not happy. Once you earn the title of a Marine, you are a Marine till you die. That simple. And so him and I met through the Scott Beeson show here, because he called in, you know, and Scott said, you need to talk to this Clark guy. You know, he was a sniper and all that stuff, because I do a lot of shooting. I was trained, you know. I said, sure. So I called him up one day, and we started talking. And like he said, he came in 79, and I came in 82. And he left in, I think he said, 83 or 84. So we kind of overlapped, but we just happened to not be in the same place at the same time. What is interesting is this, and I'm glad he talked, because he mentioned Beirut. I was a Marine tanker in 29 Palms, and I was getting ready Our unit was getting ready to deploy to Beirut to replace the tank unit that was there and come back. Well, what happened was 2 weeks, we were getting ready to go in 2 weeks. And what happened was the bomb went off in Beirut. And so they stood us down and said, we're not going to go to Beirut. That's the only reason I didn't go to Beirut. It's because the bomb went off. So anyway, when you get Marines talking, this is what we talk about. A lot of people don't like it and they hate it. But anyway, I love it. I love talking about my service. I love talking to other Marines. It's just what we do. You know, we love our country. And it really doesn't matter whether you're Democrat, Republican, Independent, whatever. If you're a Marine, you're a Marine. So we will be right back. Do not go away. This is the Gunny, and I am sitting in for the great Scott Beeson. And he's out doing Scott Beeson stuff. And I get to sit here on this great Friday, this awesome Friday. I'm excited today. I did the research on what we're talking about yesterday afternoon, did a podcast on it, and I'm just thrilled. I just love it when the Supreme Court does what it's supposed to do. Uphold the individual rights of a citizen as per the Constitution, the United States Constitution. And they did that on Monday with Joseph Kennedy, the football coach from the state of Washington. I'm so thrilled. I really am. I thank God. I really do to see this because this is the energy that's going to help us to get back to reality with these people. They have been given reins for so long. Just constant. And they have been grooming and training and teaching these people how to be like this for years, for decades. I want to add something to this discussion when we're talking about the government, right? And how the government is their God and so forth. I want you to think about something. I was there and I seen them and I seen lots of them. You go back to the 60s and I'm pretty sure even Andrew knows what I'm talking about. The flower children of the 60s, you know, the hippies and all that. Well, you know, they had all these words for them, right? But the bottom line, what it was, these were the radical thinkers. These were the utopian, you know, do the drugs and think the world is all beautiful type people, right? And they never changed. You know, this is the way it is. And now they're in the federal government. Big, high jobs in the federal government. Think about that one. That same mentality is now running big departments in the federal government. I guarantee you the CDC is run by these people. I guarantee you that. So the government being God, being their God, is them being God. And they don't want to have anything to do with any decisions of a person of religion winning anything, especially associated with the Constitution given rights that you have. They would rip up. Remember Nancy Pelosi standing behind Trump and when he was giving the State of the Union speech, and when it was over, she ripped up his speech right there on national TV. You can't. That's a perfect example. You cannot explain it, but you can see it. You can see what they do, and then it hits you like a brick, and you're going, no sane person would have done that on national TV unless you have what? A narrative, a purpose. And that's exactly why she did that. And Congress didn't do anything. They didn't do anything to her whatsoever. They just let these people walk all over the rights of us as citizens in the United States. They just let them do it. Did Craig call in? Okay. Well, anyway, I had to throw that in there. It's just all there is to it. So we got a new caller, Craig. How you doing, Craig? This is Bud.
I'm doing good. Yes, sir. I appreciate some of the things you bring to light. And, you know, one of the things I served a little bit on a more local level. That's how I got to know Scott years ago.
But awesome.
What irritates me more than anything, like you said a while ago, that prisoner, all the way up to the end, he mm-hmm. did have his freedom of religion, which is great. But the sad thing is, prisoners end up keeping more of their freedoms than their victims do.
Yeah, I understand.
And that
yes,
irritates me, because when we would arrest somebody or have somebody arrested, you know, we've got to protect them. And when you see that in real life, I mm-hmm. mean, you can see it on the news and all, but when you're standing there and the handcuffs are on, you know what's happened to the victim, and you know your officer is supposed to protect them and you're to feed them, and you have to have the medical stuff. I mean, it makes you sick to your
sure.
stomach because
absolutely.
You want to say, how about we do to you as you did to them?
Yep. It's Craig, you bring up a good point, a very good point. It's, sometimes it's just difficult. It's very difficult to make sense of some of the things, right? But the thing about it is forgiveness, right? However, what you're bringing up and talking about is what is called a balance combination, balance between forgiveness and justice, right?
Yep.
And if it's done right, if it's done appropriately and done right, just like you're saying, if a victim, don't get what is necessary so that they can forgive that person. And if that person doesn't get the necessary things to have remorse against that person, the victim, right, then this is what you end up with. Hate on both sides.
And then when you have them in your jail, you can be sued
yeah.
if you don't give them the right amount of – because there's a calorie count that they are supposed to receive. There are so many rules you have to follow to make sure this person – who decided to violate the rights of other people, even took some people's lives, you have to make sure, because you will be sued if you do one thing wrong to that person. And
yes.
that just irritates you to no end.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure it does. I mean, it would irritate me, that's for sure.
And I did enjoy, I had a good chief at the time, and he made sure he painted our jail Pepto pink for him. So if that wasn't punishment, I don't know what it is. when I opened the door, I was like, wow, that's good.
Yep. I'm part of ministry at the DeKalb Sheriff's, Sheriff's Office, and it's also the jail, right? And I didn't know this until I moved here to Alabama and, started, being part of that ministry, that a local jail, a county jail, we actually have federal prisoners in our jail, like 200 of them, right? You have the local DeKalb stuff, right? But we also have 200 federal prisoners. Here's what they do. They take them out of these, minimum or minor, medium or minimum prisons, not the major ones. And they're getting ready to be paroled. So they might have 1 or 2 years or something left, right? So they take them out of that population and
right,
they put them inside of our jails. And I'm seeing, doing the ministry, I can see exactly what you're talking about, right? And it makes you very frustrated. to say the least. You know, and imagine trying to minister to a person that has no remorse like that. That's hard.
I worked for a large vending company as well, and we would have to ship drinks into them by our routeman and everything, and it just tickled me one day. They got mad because we were out of a certain flavor. Thank you. And I'm thinking, you're lucky you're even getting drink. Okay? I mean, it's like, you're in
exactly.
jail. Yeah. I know you've been in other countries, and I've been to Nicaragua and a couple other countries on mission trips. And their jail system is a whole lot different.
Oh, yeah.
These people are free. Yeah,
absolutely. Oh, they are. Hey, there's people, you know what I'm fixing to say. There's people that do crime because they want to go to prison. They want to because everything's taken care of. They ain't got to do anything. They don't have to work.
We had some of those come through that was their livelihood. If they came out of that, they would not know how to function. And this was young people in their 20s. The jail to jail to jail.
Yep. It was kind of funny.
That's all they knew.
But what I was laughing at, Craig, is when you're talking about, and I agree with you 100%, you know, this guy's complaining because, you know, he didn't get the flavor or drinker or whatever that he wanted, right? You know, I was a Marine for 20 years, right?
Yes, sir.
Can you imagine how many times I've said that to other Marines? Stuff like that? You're going to eat what the hell we give you to eat, and that's it. End of conversation.
You're protecting our country, and you don't even get the luxuries that they get in the prisons.
Absolutely.
I've got several. My chief was a Marine, and we had several Marines on the staff, and I've friends of mine are Marines, and yeah, I'm sitting there going, yeah, y'all are out in mud. You get these little MERs or whatever.
MREs.
All this stuff. Yep. And here they are in cots with air conditioning and heating. And, yeah, I think we've got that a little backwards.
I think so, too. I do, you know. Like I said, there's this, you know, there's the forgiveness but the justice part of it. And I believe in what Christ said. Christ believed that the government is responsible for justice. Correct?
Yes, sir.
And I don't think we're doing the justice necessary that we're supposed to be doing. There would be a lot less people in prison, I guarantee
you. They're encouraging it, which is sad. But I'll let you go. But I got one more point I want to bring up. We just need to keep our eye on this Nancy Pelosi's husband being attacked in her house.
Really?
There's just too many holes in that. Oh, yes, sir. If you've not seen it, breaking news. Somebody broke in their house and violently attacked him, and he's in the hospital but will make full recovery.
Oh,
now, he's
80-something
years old. If you're violently attacked, you may not be in that great shape. So I'm just wondering, we got us a little decoy thing going on.
All right,
on here.
I appreciate you telling me that. I'll go check it out. I appreciate
that. Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thanks, Craig. Have a great day, a great weekend. We'll talk to you later. So that's a good point she's bringing up. Again, it's all about the government and all that, right? I had to laugh when he was talking about that guy and the drink, because I used to tell Marines that all the time. They complain about this, or I didn't get enough of that, or, you know. Oh, yeah. Anyway, we got one more segment left, and then we're going out the door. And I appreciate every one of you listening. And I thank again Scott Beeson for allowing me to be on the show. But we will be right back.
And now a message from your friendly board operator, Jeeves.
Sometimes Scott needs encouragement. If Scott gets an answer right, I tell him it was a lucky guess. That way he develops a good, lucky feeling.
Gunny, standing in for Scott Beeson. And I appreciate it. Absolutely appreciate it. The government, on the flip side, is completely out of control. So I wanted to mention that, you know, I'm very glad today that our Supreme Court upheld the rights of an individual. That is very, very important for us to understand. And I guarantee you, the media is presenting this in one way. That's it. We read it on the documents in the magazines, and I guarantee you, the CNN, MSNBC, all of them are using that same narrative that the government is turning religious, that they're allowing the religious people to infiltrate the decisions and all that of the government. And they're not. They're just upholding the laws. So, but I want to leave you with this. I'm a member of the Convention of States. In the Convention of States, we are building a grassroots organization to stand up to the beast called the federal government and proposing amendments. We want to have a constitution, or talk about the Constitution amendments at a convention. It's an amendment convention. It's not a constitutional convention, amendment convention. And there's three things that we want to accomplish so we can hold the government responsible. Term limits for all of them, including those that are appointed, like the Fauci's example. Number two, we must balance the budget. And most people don't know, nowhere in the Constitution does it tell the government they have to balance the budget. That's why they don't do it. Guess what? If it was in the Constitution, guess who could hold the government responsible? The U.S. Supreme Court. But because it's not in there, they spend trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars. The third thing is our government is way, way too big. The federal government is huge. And it was not designed for it to be that way. We are supposed to be the ones that have the power, the local state governments. They have lost so much power in the states because of the size of the beast in D.C. That has to be reduced. A lot of people don't know it, like the education department, the department of this, the department of that. None of that is in the Constitution. It was all created by this beast of a government. And, of course, if you don't read the Constitution and you don't know what it says, you don't have a clue what I'm saying. But go check it out. Go to theconventionofstates.com, or you can go to cosaction.com and check it out. Read about what we're doing. You can join and support us. You can also sign the petition that goes to your legislator, your local legislator, here in Alabama, Georgia, Tennessee, wherever you live. And then what will happen is they will get that. And the more of those they get, the more those legislators are going to go, wait a minute, there's something here. And then they research, and then they realize how powerful the people are. We're using the Constitution to save the Constitution. Kind of weird to say it that way, but we are. Article 5. Read Article 5 in the Constitution. It allows that Constitution to be amended in two ways. One, most of us know what it is because you see it. The federal government, right? The Congress votes. We want to change the law. We want to change the tax laws, amend the Constitution. Goes through Congress, goes through the Senate, and they change it. Well, first it goes back out to the states to get ratified. And if 38 states agree, which they did 27 times, by the way, because we have 27 amendments, right? Then it gets passed, and it becomes law in the Constitution, becomes part of the Constitution. Well, we can also do it ourselves. The people, the states can come together, completely bypassing the federal government. They're not even invited to the party. And we can come together, and we can amend the Constitution. Now, when we come to this convention, the goal is those three things. You can't go outside of that. You can't say, oh, I want to change the Second Amendment. No, because every single state has passed this resolution. So far, there's 19 states that have passed it. And every one of those states, the verbiage is identical for these three things. If they send a delegate to this convention and he tries to do something that is not within the bounds of those three things, the state can fire him in a heartbeat, take him right out of the convention. Not only that, the people in the convention is not going to let him stand up and talk anyway because he's going to be out of order, point of order, dead, shut up. The Second Amendment, you're done as soon as somebody tries to do something like that. But anyway, learn about the Convention of States. Use your power, influence your legislator to bring the states together. We need 34. We have 19. So we need 15 more states to hold a convention to amend the Constitution. Alabama, Georgia, Tennessee, Mississippi, Louisiana, Texas, Oklahoma, Arkansas, Florida, all of these states have passed it. Virtually all the southern states have passed this. I wonder why. Don't you think maybe we're the ones that are really mad about the government and the rest of them that live in the big cities are all happy that they get, you know, provided with the bus and sidewalks and subways and all that crap. Anyway, I can't thank Scott Beeson enough for letting me be part of the show. I'm glad I get to sit in with him. I know he would rather somebody, if all possible, sit in for him, and that way people can still call in and instead of having to listen to a rerun, as I call it, or a replay, I guess that's what it is. So I'm very fortunate, and I'm very proud that he contacted me, and I'm also was able to be here to do this. The last time he wanted me to come, I was sick as a dog. I had a cold so bad I couldn't even hardly talk. There was no way I could do a radio show. That's one bad thing. If you end up with a bad cold, it's hard to do a radio show. But I enjoyed it. So anyway, I thank you, Jeeves and Andrew, very much for taking care of me today and helping me out. And I hope the information I passed today that people gives them a better understanding of why these people are using the government as their god. It's sad is what it is when there's so many people in this world that just they're so secularized that they just can't even change the way they live and the way they think. So I want you to have a great Friday, an awesome weekend. And make sure you're back here on Monday when Scott gets back, because I know he's going to want to hear from you. And thank you very much for the callers that called in. I will not go away. I'll be back again. Glad to have you on the show. And you guys and gals, take care of yourself. And have a wonderful weekend, Birmingham. This is the Gunny out.
10, 9. 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Just get here when you can, Scott Beeson. Just get here when you can.
There you have it. The great Scott Beeson show that I was able to be part of this past week. I love getting information out. Imagine the thousands of people in Birmingham, Alabama, and across this world that is going to hear the truth about justice in America when it is done right. And this radio show that I presented is all based on that. Justice must be distributed in this country by the Constitution. Last but not least, go to Convention of States so that we can hold this government. Doesn't matter what party is in charge. We must hold this government responsible for the dollars for the term limits for the size of the government. And this is what the Convention of States is doing. ConventionofStates.com. Thank you very much for listening to the podcast. Please share it. Go on your phone, hit the like, the five stars, whatever, and share it on Facebook, Twizzler, whatever media that you use, so these people can actually make a determination, a rational decision of what is happening in this country. This is the Gunny on the Patriot Cause. Out.
Up for the flag and let's all ring the liberty bell. Let's make a Ford and a Chevy that'll still last 10 years like they should. 'Cause the best of the free life is still yet to come. Good times ain't over for good.